wasn't the best one for hiding behind. She'd chosen one in the very center of the room, and unless she kept very quiet... The door opened, and the light changed in the room. One of the incomers was carrying a lamp, which he put down on the sideboard. Lyra could see his legs in their dark green trousers and shiny black shoes. It was a servant. Then a deep voice said,
"Has Lord Asriel arrived yet?"
It was the master. As Lyra held her breath, she saw the servant's demon, a dog like all servants' demons, trot in and sit quietly at his feet. And then the master's feet became visible too in the shabby black shoes he always wore.
"No, master,"
said the butler.
"No word from the aerodoc either."
"I expect he'll be hungry when he arrives. Show him straight into hall, will you?"
"Very good, master."
"And you've decanted some of the special tokai for him?"
"Yes, master. The 1898 as you ordered. His lordship is very partial to that, I remember."
"Good. Now leave me, please."
"Do you need the lamp, master?"
"Yes, leave that too. Look in during dinner to trim it, will you?"
The butler bowed slightly and turned to leave, his demon trotting obediently after him. From her not much of a hiding place, Lyra watched as the master went to a large oak wardrobe in the corner of the room, took his gown from a hanger, and pulled it laboriously on. The master had been a powerful man, but he was well over 70 now, and his movements were stiff and slow. The master's demon had the form of a raven, and as soon as his robe was on, she jumped down from the wardrobe and settled in her accustomed place on his right shoulder. Lyra could feel Pantalaimon bristling with anxiety, though he made no sound. For herself, she was pleasantly excited. The visitor mentioned by the master, Lord Asriel, was her uncle, a man whom she admired and feared greatly. He was said to be involved in high politics, in secret exploration, in distant warfare, and she never knew when he was going to appear. He was fierce. If he caught her in here, she'd be severely punished, but she could put up with that. What she saw next, however, changed things completely. The master took from his pocket a folded paper and laid it on the table beside the wine. He took the stopper out of the mouth of a decanter containing a rich golden wine, unfolded the paper, and poured a thin stream of white powder into the decanter before crumpling the paper and throwing it into the fire. Then he took a pencil from his pocket, stirred the wine until the powder had dissolved, and replaced the stopper. His demon gave a soft, brief squawk. The master replied in an undertone, and looked around with his hooded, clouded eyes before leaving through the door he'd come in by. Lyra whispered,
"Did you see that, Pan?"
"Of course I did. Now hurry out before the steward comes."
But as he spoke, there came the sound of a bell ringing once from the far end of the hall.
"That's the steward's bell. I thought we had more time than that."
Pantalaimon fluttered swiftly to the hall door and swiftly back.
"The steward's there already, and you can't get out of the other door."
The other door, the one the master had entered and left by, opened onto the busy corridor between the library and the scholar's common room. At this time of day it was thronged with men pulling on their gowns for dinner or hurrying to leave papers or briefcases in the common room before moving into the hall. Lyra had planned to leave the way she'd come, banking on another few minutes before the steward's bell rang. And if she hadn't seen the master tipping that powder into the wine, she might have risked the steward's anger or hoped to avoid being noticed in the busy corridor. But she was confused, and that made her hesitate. Then she heard heavy footsteps on the dais. The steward was coming to make sure the retiring room was ready for the scholar's poppy and wine after dinner. Lyra darted to the oak wardrobe, opened it, and hid inside, pulling the door shut just as the steward entered. She had no fear for Pantalaimon. The room was somber-colored, and he could always creep under a chair. She heard the steward's heavy wheezing, and through the crack where the door hadn't quite shut, she saw him adjust the pipes in the rack by the smoking stand, and cast a glance over the decanters and glasses.